B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Well, I guess it's the cigarettes, you know, everyone gets a sneak a cigarette on moving day.
Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Wow, far out.
Saudi Arabia, party, party, yeah, party, party, yeah. Fun, 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 fun.
Ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah.
Without finding a computer first somewhere in the woods or somewhere deep in the city or somewhere deep in the ocean or up in the mountain or something, you know.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Give us a call on that number. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at your app store. And I took the key card out of my wallet. I don't know why, but I did it before I went to Florida a couple weeks ago. And my wife has done something with it. Because I had that, and then I had the sheet of paper that said we could be out past curfew.
Right.
And I had taken that out of my backpack because I was traveling with my backpack. And I took that and my headphones out. Now, the headphones remained where they were, but the rest has been thrown out. Because what my wife does is she walks around the house and points at things and complains. And then throws things out. And if you complain to her, she does not like that. But that's pretty much what she does now, is she just walks around and points at things and complains. And Zoe, what have you done to the floor? Fred, that smells. And she just walks around and then sits and will knit for a while and then get up again and do another round of throwing things away and complaining.
Okay.
But one of the great joys is that I have all these baseball cards now strewn all about, and I'm in the process of organizing them. So, but she's not to touch those. And I'll go, you can throw these baseball cards away. But then there'll be like a box with like unopened packs. And she'll go, this box? No, that box. And then this box. And I'm like, you can't throw anything away. Just never throw anything away again. Never. And even if it's rotten food, don't throw it away. Because she has OCD, but it's the most unproductive OCD of all time. Like, it would be great if, you know, all our financial documents were alphabetically stored and stored by year. And, you know, it could be this, wow, we're so organized, but it's organized in a way that satisfies her brain, which is a way that satisfies no one else's. So whenever one of the kids has something missing, they go, oh, mom probably touched it. Mom probably touched it. Because Lord knows where things are supposed to be. So
my wife's a little different. You know, she'll wait and wait and wait. And then there's that one day where she just explodes and loses and said, this house is a mess. And then we'll throw everything out. It's not every day. It's a slow boil until one day.
Well,
at
least you're given the opportunity to do what you have to do. Because her things can be on the kitchen counter, but no one else's can.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And because she knows where to put her things, just on what area of the counter that day satisfies her whims, but we don't. So, because we're not, you know, we don't live in her brain. And there's no, like, well, these things go here and this goes here. And you would figure if you were going out of town, because my thought was, if I'm going out of town, I can just leave these things, you know, on this counter and they won't bother anyone. And when we get back, I'll just immediately put them back where they were. But they were all gone. And the headphones had been moved, but luckily they're big enough that you can find them.
I think at one point, Fred, I grabbed a bucket and I said, you know, because everything kept getting moved too. Like I would usually put like my keys and my wallet and stuff and my glasses in my hat. And I would leave my hat like usually like on the counter or something like that. And it would always get moved. So I finally just grabbed a bucket and I said, this is my bucket. And I'm just going to put everything. I'll give you the rest of the house, but this bucket is mine. And I'm going to keep it here. And everything I put in the bucket, just don't move. And it was great.
That's a good idea.
That's been a system that has worked. I have my bucket where I walk in and I just dump. There's no rhyme or reason. I just know that everything that's of any value to me is in this bucket at any given time. So, and it's made life pleasant. I don't have to look anymore for anything. I know it's all in one spot.
No, she would organize the bucket in her way if it was me. And she would, because no. Because I have a place where I put my keys, wallet, and glasses, mm-hmm. which is an area that is for keys, wallets, and glasses. So she won't touch. But again, these were extraordinary situations where we were leaving, and I felt that, you know, I could, you know, that since no one was home. But
oh, yeah.
She's someone who organizes the pillows on the couch before she goes to bed. She goes to bed after everyone else, and she organizes the pillows on the couch, and they're just going to get disrupted again. I mean, she bought 85 pillows for the couch. So you can't sit on the couch with all the pillows on it. But for some reason, and she'll get upset, like if I move them in the morning when I get up, because she wants to wake up with the pillows in the right place. And by the way, the kids on Thursdays and Fridays don't go anywhere. I mean, they're home and she's home because the kids are home. So no one's out of the house. So, but those are their pillows are right there, and then they get moved around throughout the day and put right back at night.
You know what show that you guys should watch together, because it's fascinating, is that that Marie Kondo show where that woman goes and shows up at people's houses that are a mess. And she basically has them throw away 90% of their belongings.
Oh, wow. You don't say. You don't think my wife has watched that? My wife has things in the... It has. She'll take the flour out of the bag and put it in a container that says flour. And then she has done that with everything to the point where the containers are too small for what is contained in the bag from the store.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's done all that. I mean, yeah, she's got all the books, she's got all the things.
Well, what's great too, Fred, is that almost to what you were saying before, and it kind of makes me think of this one particular episode. There's a married couple, and it's this older dude who just kind of is doing this, you can tell, just to make his wife happy. Like, he doesn't want Marie Kondo to show up. He's not into any of this. But when she shows up, his wife is somebody who just spends her entire paycheck at those knickknack stores, like Tuesday morning.
Right.
Just shows up, like the Christmas tree shops, goes in there and just buys knickknacks. Like, there's an entire room that they have that used to have a pool table. It was like a game room.
So she's obviously Jewish. No, I'm just kidding. That's least Jewish thing in the world. That's the goyest thing in the world. Tuesday mornings? Oh, my goodness. Start of the goy train. It's
the entire table is filled with nutcrackers, giant nutcrackers and Christmas stuff.
Yeah, Christmas stuff, you don't say.
I didn't even go to the Christmas tree store for that. I already have all of that.
That stuff is everywhere.
Yeah, she's like the most goyest person in the world. How many casseroles have they had for dinner?
I'm sure they have plenty. But it is a house just overrun by crap. Everywhere you look, it's knickknacks, except this dude, the guy, has got one room, and his room is also a mess, but it's all boxes of baseball cards. Like, it's just stacked to the ceiling boxes of baseball cards. And Marie Kondo comes in and takes a look at it, and she's like, ooh, and he just stops her right in her tracks and goes, you can deal with all that. this is mine, hands off. Like, you don't screw it. Yeah. So basically goes around the whole house. She gets them to throw away everything. And this dude's like, all right, you had your fun. You're not effing with it. It may look like chaos, but I know where every single card is in this gigantic pile of just stacks of cards.
Yeah, he spent his life accumulating a collection of something, and he would like to, and it's in boxes, and he would like to hold on to them. Imagine that. Wow, what a psycho that guy is.
Well, he's like, as he said, the whole reason, he just sits there with his mouth shut, nodding at his wife, like, I know you wanted this woman to come here, and I know this is like your dream. I'm not going to ruin it, but she ain't touching anything of mine. I don't have much. Our entire house is overrun with your crap. I've got this one room, and it's staying exactly the way it is.
Well, yeah, if you make a cable channel that was just zit-popping, organizing houses and refurbishing houses, I mean, you could, it would be like a Brave New World where they put the buzzer in people's ears. It would be like an Infinite Jest. It would just be something that you could stick women in front of and they would never move.
I can't watch that pimple popping show. So your wife likes the pimple show? Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
What is the psychology in that?
I don't know, but it's completely for women. Women want to shave your back. Women want to pop your zits. Yeah, that's all for women.
That Zolak,
we've talked about that too. He's on the fence sexually, but we have talked about this on the air before, and women have called in support of this.
The back shaving, I understand. The pimple popping is weird to me. I didn't realize that was a gender thing.
Yeah, that's a completely... If you have a pimple on your back, which I don't get, unfortunately, for my wife often, I've gotten that one thing that we talked about on the air years ago. But, that's like heaven for women. If they, like, women, they wouldn't want to date you eventually, but if they've fallen in love with you and you had zits on your back, a woman would gladly spend a day just popping the zits on a guy's back. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, get your own bucket, Fred. Declare your own little tiny space.
She would not like that, and she would screw with the bucket, and the bucket would move all over the place, and the bucket would have to be somewhere in the basement. Where in the basement, that's anyone's guess. Would it make sense now? But that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes in my house. So now I have to get a new key card, whatever. It's the price of doing business. But it's not my fault. It's not the station's fault. It's entirely on my wife. All right, Rich, the Bruins lost last night.
Yeah, they caught a case of the Celtics yesterday. We will get into all of that. That was a weird game, man.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just real quick, we're going to get into the Bruins, but there was an article that we'll talk about extensively a couple times today about Russell Wilson and his situation that just was everything, I thought. Everything. He could not have... John and I were just talking about Alfair. He could not look worse. He is just a tool.
That article is so great.
It's fantastic.
And the news that came out with it is. And the article, and there's news outside of that article that came out about Russell Wilson and how he's planning on doing business and how he's trying to get it. That is astounding. And this is going to be one of those times. We'll talk about it later.
I'll just give the listeners really a hint. He wants to be Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And he watched that Super Bowl and was all plumb mad. It was going.
That could be me.
No, it can't. No, it can't.
No, it can't.
You know what? I wouldn't give up one pick for him. He's the worst.
I would.
I'll tell you what. He ain't a top five quarterback. He ain't getting any better. He's going to get worse.
He's not a top five quarterback?
He might be six or seven, but I don't think he's a top five quarterback, and he Rogers, ain't getting any better.
Rodgers, Mahomes.
I'd rather have Brady next year. I could go down, up and down the list.
Deshaun Watson, he's top five. I think he's probably number five. You're probably right. Four or five.
He's a borderline top five.
Oh, but he wants to win MVP every year, and he doesn't like not getting MVPs. Ew. I mean, just everything about him was just... Oh, boy, he stinks. Oh, he's the worst. Everything in that article was just on the nose. What a dummy.
Yeah, well, we will discuss that.
Too bad you suck.
I'm glad you read it, too, because I was looking at this, and I'm like, there's just – this could be a complete game changer for what people think about Russell Wilson.
It's like, everything – I'll tell you what. I can judge character on these strangers like nobody's business. It was everything I thought it was. He lives in La La Land, and I like that he wanted to go to New York, too. But then that all changed because no one in New York would give him anything. But, like, he wanted to go to New York for his big career off the field. Ooh, Russell Wilson, please share that charisma with the world. You're so much bigger than football. Boo. You're trapped in Seattle, that media market. If only you were in New York. Ew. You're the worst. That guy doesn't get a TV job. That guy stinks. Ew. He's just the worst. And everything, and if I'm a GM and I'm reading that, everything he wants is personal. Everything he wants is personal accolades. And it's all confirmed, which I guess I knew, that the team resents him because Carroll was like, don't be so mean to Russell. And has to keep, like, massaging him. But he doesn't like, bring that guy in. I would have put him 45. Uh-huh, do you? You stink. And then the best is when they had the talent evaluator come out and go, what the F's wrong with this guy? He stinks.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I do want to get into it as well. Because
author desperately tried to play both sides of it. But then he was like, well, Russell Wilson's best man in his wedding said.
That's right. It was an add-on at the end. He looked back and went, wow, this is really bad. Like, I got to toss a few things in to even it out.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the offensive line's not very good, but, you know. All right. There you go. Well, but right. We have Breer on at 7, and if I'm reading that and I'm a GM, I don't know what I want. I don't know. I don't know if I want that around.
I'd still bring him here, and I'd still give up a lot to get him.
To New England?
Three first-round picks, a lot.
Oh, I wouldn't give
him a 32-year-old. I didn't say three first-round picks.
That's where the bidding starts.
Well, I mean, two first-round picks for Jamal Adams. I mean, you're going to have to give three first-round picks for Russell Wilson at least.
When has that happened before?
It's never happened before. Three first-round picks for a player? I looked it up. It's never happened
before. Yeah, we couldn't find it. So I mean,
even the Herschel Walker deal is like two firsts, three seconds, and a third.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, you know.
I mean, if the Jets gave up Jamal Adams for two first-round picks. I mean,
Khalil Mack was two first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to give up three, but I wouldn't want Russell Wilson in New England. I wouldn't want him anywhere near here.
Because by the time he's good, well, look, obviously if you ever got him here, he would make the team better, but in order to get enough around him so he won't start complaining again, it's going to take another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and by
then he's 35.
Yeah. Then
well, he can play well past 35 because when it comes to his age, he's...
Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited on the amount of...
I mean, I can only imagine the movie roles waiting for Russell Wilson with that nerd.
He could be in Double Team 2.
Yeah.
Taking over for Dennis Rodman.
What is Van Damme doing?
He just sits there going like, why am I not in the Super Bowl? Oh, because of you.
I actually randomly watched the trailer for Double Team yesterday because that movie was made.
That's Rodman and Van Damme?
Yeah. it's like...
Well, I can tell you why that was made. Is because Dennis Rodman obviously was at the height of his fame and they probably said, well, we can get this done for about $5. So. Yeah.
Who does your hair? Siegfried or Roy? Like, neither of them can speak or act. It's great. It's like, offense wins the game. No, offense gets the glory, but defense wins the game. Like, neither one of them. That whole movie should have closed captioning at the bottom of it because I can't understand what either of them are saying.
I never saw it, but if Dennis Rodman doesn't cry at least 8 times, they're missing a huge opportunity because the man can cry.
One movie that's actually worth watching part of because it's so bad. Because there's some you could say that, and it's like, all right, you just you 5 minutes, you're done. But Simon Says, spelled S-E-Z, featuring Dennis Rodman as the action star, and a young Dane Cook doing his best Jim Carrey impression, is brilliantly bad. Hmm. Like Hall of Fame, Mac and Me level awfulness. And it's something that if you get a chance online, you can just go on YouTube and put Simon Says action scenes. They're the worst thing you've ever seen. And like Dane Cook couldn't be more annoying. And he's doing like the alrighty then type voice. It was right around when Ace Ventura came out. And he's completely ripping off his shtick. Oh, it's so good. That's one that's worth actually putting on the watch list. Or at least 15 minutes on YouTube if you have a chance. All right, let's get to last night's game. What the hell was that, Bruins? Come on. Clean it up.
Fired out to center ice over the line, left side into the far circle. Beauvillier shoots, and Halak, a right shoulder save. The rebound out in front. Beauvillier scores. The Bruins looked like they had control of it. Beauvillier got it back and pumped a backhand home. The Islanders with a 3-2 lead.
Well, that was delayed.
The horn's going off.
I know.
Just getting around to calling
it. He didn't see Trent Frederick get pantsed in front of his own net. That was part of the problem.
Good. It wasn't good. Well, the Bruins have lost 4 games in regulation this season, and 3 of them have been to the Islanders. Just a rare gross display by the Bees last night. 7-2 the final score. No question it was the worst game of the season so far. And there is absolutely no question that the third was also the year's worst period.
Halak, right circle. Halak with a drive. And Halak knocked it down. They score. Banged home by Wahlstrom. 7-2 Islanders.
5 unanswered goals. Bang, bang, and then 3 more bangs. Sounds like a Thursday night at Yager's. It was one of those games where Yarrow would just... Yes, yes. Bang, bang, then 3 more bangs?
No, which now one? Into the brain, not the boob. Read Instagram.
That's right. I did see that.
Well, they just kept Halak in because they're like, we got to play Rask.
I was just going to say, I felt so sorry for Halak because they have another game tonight, so obviously they weren't going to bring in Rask. So
after it was
4-2. It's on you, bud. Have fun.
Yeah, after it was 4-2, you kind of just said, all right, well, this is what it is, and they're not winning this game. And
no, and he just smashes his stick in frustration, realizing that no matter how bad it gets, you ain't leaving. You're not Sandman's not coming out to save you. Well, maybe all those injuries on the blue line are starting to affect the team. They've got no Grizzly, Lauzon. I know that Miller's still out. Goodness knows we saw a ton of defensive breakdowns. You didn't get the TNR bump for DeBrusque last night either. I thought he was going to get it on that breakaway, but it didn't happen. And as you mentioned, John, not the best night for Trent Frederick, who has been playing fairly well. Not a really good night for anybody. Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
We're not going to overanalyze those. You know, they were just harder in front of our net. They kept playing. We didn't. Just discouraging. Don't get me wrong. But I think the sort of third, fourth, and fifth goal were, like I said, we just weren't good enough. And that was that.
So they've lost 3 of their last 4. And the Islanders obviously are the bane of their existence. It's pretty funny. What's the Islanders' record against the rest of the league right now? It's
7-6
mediocre.
And, 7-6-3 or something
game
like that.
Over 500.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is not like they're playing like they're setting the world on fire. It's just specifically against the Bruins. They're absolutely kicking their ass. And who knows what's... it's tough to judge where the team is now because they were playing so damn well. And they have dropped 3 of their last 4. I don't know. It's something to keep an eye on. Hopefully against the Rangers in New York tonight with Tuukka Rask in net, you'll get to see a little bit of a difference. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock, and of course you can hear it right here on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, when we come back, what are we going to discuss?
Oh, fans in the stands, baby. It's time for a return of the Drunken Bruins recap.
Absolutely. We will have all that for you in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Catcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick. Sometimes I rhyme slow, sometimes I rhyme quick, 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 quick.
Sometimes I rhyme slower, sometimes I rhyme quick. I'm sweeter and thicker than a Chico stick.
98.5 The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich.
I'll go to Bay Plaza and catch a flick.
If you, you know, we play old hip-hop a lot on Funk Fridays, but have you guys ever heard that song, Whoopty?
Whoopty, there it is?
No, it's called Whoopty, but it's this guy CJ made it, and apparently he's... And in the video, there's a bunch of guys wearing red and stuff in it, and apparently... it is Whoopty is a term that is affiliated with a certain gang where he is not affiliated with that gang, and that gang is not happy.
Oh.
So I would not want to be that guy who made the song Whoopty, because frightening videos in response to the Whoopty song.
Well, that's not
from,
good.
From the gangs. So it's just, you know, I like to keep a toe in the what's going on currently in rap. And I see it and I go, I'm glad I'm not in it, because this fellow that made the Whoopty song is, there's a, the guys who actually say the word Whoopty have a video, a parody video of it, but the parody video is of them masked in a Manhattan apartment with several semi-automatic weapons and directly calling him out, which I would not like if I was him. So that is what's going on currently in rap, if you're wondering. You played nice and smooth there, and you go, yeah, that's 30 years old, and here's what's going on now. Is these guys are not happy. Not happy. So there you have that. That's your current rap update.
All right. Well, wouldn't there be a way to find out who these guys are? Like, who loaded the YouTube clip up? Or
yes, they say who they are. It's another rapper, and he's affiliated with the gang. You know,
sounds like that's a death threat. Then,
you know, it's take it for what you want. But there it is. I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened in rap before. I mean, it happens all the time. And people can say, you know, it's just my way of speaking. It's my art. I don't know if it's something the police investigate. I mean, that whole 6ix9ine kid,
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I mean, his whole thing was he, you know, started putting these guys in this gang in all his videos, and then when things got rough, they kidnapped him and took all his crap, and then he ended up ratting everyone out, and now I wouldn't want to be him. So yeah, it's a life that is you know, not like what we live. So
makes you long for the days of the Fat Boys. Rest in peace.
Well, man. You know, hell, Tupac, yes, and Biggie both got shot, and you know, there's a lot of murderers even back then. But I'm just telling you what's currently going on. I'm glad I'm not the guy who made the Whoopty song, is all I'm saying. All right.
Actually, Houdini never killed anybody, at least not that I'm aware of. So
you never know. You'd be surprised. I mean, MC Hammer wanted to put a hit out in third base, so you never know.
Mm-hmm. Pop Goes the Weasel. That's right. Well, that was about Vanilla Ice, right? Not about MC
Hammer.
That
Pop Goes the Weasel was about Vanilla Ice.
No,
yeah.
But okay. The Gas Face was them hitting, featuring a young MF Doom when he was before he was MF Doom. And
Gas Face was about MC Hammer?
They directly, and then they have a big hammer that they start beating with a baseball bat.
I never saw the video, so I don't know.
You've never seen the video for...
No, not for Gas Face.
Zen Love X, a young MF Doom, unmasked in that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that's good. Well, maybe if those guys, well, not MF Doom, rest in peace, but if any of them come in concert, maybe you'll be able to see them, because yesterday, oh, yeah, Chucky Bakes got to the mic and gave the people what they want.
Step one of phase four includes indoor and outdoor stadiums, as well as arenas and ballparks like Gillette Stadium, Fenway Park, and TD Garden, which will be permitted to reopen with a 12% capacity limit. These facilities will also be required to submit a plan to the Department of Public Health to demonstrate the safety measures that are employed.
He's got a smile on his face.
You wanted limited seating? You got limited seating!
Yeah, I know, because I have those tickets to the Red Sox, and I'm not positive I'm going to be able to get in.
Oh, what, yeah, that's true. How did they determine? How do they determine?
Here's your chance to boo them Celtics. Come on.
Well, no. How do they determine who's in and who's out?
I don't know, because there's got to be more than, what is it, 4,500 or something for Fenway?
So here's how it works out. Obviously, it was funny because earlier in the week, you know, Chucky Banks gave us the big market tease.
He couldn't keep that under his hat for much longer. He had to pop, that bad boy out soon.
So at the end of next month, a small amount of fans are going to be able to attend home games for the first time in almost a year, starting March 22nd. As long as COVID cases continue to fall and the vaccinations continue to rise statewide, venues such as the TD Garden, Fenway Park, as you mentioned, Fred, and Gillette Stadium can open at 12% of capacity. What that means is that the TD Garden for Celtics games, they can hold 2,200 people. For the Bruins, 2,100. Fenway, almost just over 4,500, and at Gillette, about 8,000 people. So your first chance for an in-person sporting event first is going to be the Bruins versus the Islanders on March 23rd, where they'll probably lose. Next, you got the Celtics-Pelicans, 6 days later, where the Celtics will, of course, have their new trade exception superstar on the roster. And opening day for the Red Sox, officially, with moderately interested fans in the stands, that will be on April 1st. But if you're headed to the Garden, things are going to be a bit different. So unlike in New York, you don't have to get a negative test. As for now, they have not said that, because you do to go see like a Rangers game.
That'd be a little ridiculous, but yes.
Well, I mean, that's, once again, they're doing it differently than New York. But you do have to fill out what is called a, quote, play it safe promise, which is an online health and safety agreement that's got to be completed on the day of the event by anyone who enters the TD Garden.
Media has to do that now.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah.
It's basically a, hey, I promise to do all the stuff you're asking us to do. And the protocols are, first, fans will be required to wear a mask at all times, except while actively eating or drinking in their seat. All the tickets are going to be mobile, and the ticketed seats will be sold in pods of 2 and 4 and physically distanced and at least 6 feet between groups. There's also going to be new entry gates and designated, quote, neighborhoods, they're calling it, where people will be giving a specific entry gate, asked to enter the arena only through the assigned entrances, and the neighborhoods are that you can't go past a certain section to, like, go visit friends. Also, no bags. I think most places have gotten rid of those anyway. On top of that, this is something that would be nice if it stuck. Mobile concession ordering, where guests can now skip the lines and order the food and all the stuff online on their app and then pick it up at a designated concession stand. And also what they're calling a physically distanced exit, where at the end of any event, the TD Garden staff, much like getting off of an airplane, they will assist guests in their exit procedure, and I'm assuming it's from the back and then all the way towards the front. On top of that, you got hospital-grade disinfectants everywhere during and after events, hand sanitizer, yada, yada, yada. But as you said, Fred, I'm wondering what, first of all, the price of these early tickets are going to be, and how are they going to deal with, you know, like season ticket holders versus Joe Schmoes? That has not been released yet.
Well, they would have to let season ticket holders in and not sell general tickets. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I don't have season tickets to anyone but the Red Sox, and so I'm not, like, going, let me in. So, I mean, I shouldn't be able to go to a Bruins game ahead of someone who's got season tickets. I mean, if they've invested that money year after year in the team, they should be able to go.
But again, all season ticket holders, they've sold more than 5,000 seats or whatever, 12% is. So I'm wondering how it is you decide which people go and which don't. And obviously they have to give full refunds and to those who can't get in.
They'll screw around. And if you have full season tickets, they'll have to give I'm a little disappointed in Fenway that they're not allowed more people. We'll see if that evolves. But the
Fenway's going to change. Like, that's something that you're going to see the numbers go up quick, because obviously it's outdoors. Yeah. And if you just look at the trajectory, as long as these stupid variants don't F up everything, it's looking like the spring is going to be, I mean, I bet, Fred, that probably by sometime mid-May, you're going to be getting close to 50%. I would think
that would be nice.
Where they're headed, they got to start somewhere. I know why they're doing this slow.
Sure.
It's frustrating, but that's, so there you go. So the 23rd is going to be your first chance, and that's that Bruins game versus the Islanders. And we right now don't know how that's all going to shake out. As far as who gets the tickets and who doesn't. I got to think that they're probably going to do something where at least there's a chance that the public can buy tickets to it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's fair, but they should. I mean, they shouldn't, but they probably have to. For, I don't know what the deal is, but I'll tell you, I like Baker. He put a little pressure on the people. Now they're saying, I like it. He's putting some pressure on people. And now if they're going to go, we've opened up these arenas. Now other people have to go, okay, you're on the clock. Let's
have
go.
Have they addressed what they're going to be doing at Gillette? Because, I mean, I know that the Revs start in April.
You do?
Yeah, they do. because I read the article, I wouldn't have known otherwise. and then, you know, with baseball starting up in April as well, what does that mean for the mass vaccination stuff? Like, is
they
that...
said they're going to keep doing it at Fenway.
Okay,
they did say that in the article that they planned on keep. Or they didn't. They sent an email out to season ticket holders, and they said that they plan to still use Fenway's mass vaccination.
Good, because you are going to need that. Like, if you want those, you know, because that's the other thing they're going to be looking at is, you know, how many people are vaccinated. And if that continues to go in the direction it does, as I was saying, Fred, you know, I think that for Fenway, of anything, you're going to have the numbers go up of the amount of people you're allowed to get in there rapidly. And I think by the 4th of July, you may be looking at something close to capacity.
Yeah. I would hope that, you know, it's certainly when the weather warms up a little bit that they would allow half capacity at Fenway. I realize that it would be different rules, and I understand that, and that you wouldn't be able to leave certain parts of the park, which I completely understand. But I would like to think that you could go if you have season tickets and you've bought the ticket to the game already, that you could go. But we'll see how that it's. Well, anyway, it's good news anyway, you slice it. And I like that Baker is, going, we're doing this stuff and, you know, get it together.
Well, that's on him. A lot of it's on him to get it. He's basically putting the pressure on himself.
Yeah, well, and he's also putting the pressure on unions and some other things to get going here. And hopefully, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they're a great person, and this is all completely justified. But I mean, just their process of getting out into the world is going to take some time because, you know, they're still shook by all this, you know, that's happened and the way they've been living their lives for the last year. And I completely empathize and understand it's just going to take a while for people to a lot of people. To, you know, dip their toes back in the water of some sort of normal life. And listen, I had my freak out early in this thing. And, you know, a lot of people are going to have a lot of problems mentally getting back into the swing of things. And that's completely understandable. Saying 56% of people have had fairly major mental issues during this. And if you think 56% of the country... And those are people that have just been contacted and admitted it. It's going to be a bit of mental gymnastics, and it's going to take a while for people to kind of reintegrate into society and the crowds. Now, not everyone, but, you know, and I completely understand that. But it's time to start maybe, you know,
this feels
getting
good.
This going.
This yeah. feels good. Seeing this is how it starts.
Yeah.
And as long as the numbers go in that direction,
sure.
This is
I mean, yeah,
if
there's another huge spike or something, you gotta deal with it.
Everything you want right now.
Right.
Yep.
But the way things are going, it's time. And it's not going to be easy for a lot of people, but it's time to...
And it's going to be euphoric for others.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you have to understand, you are not... Most people that have lived like you've lived, which is, I mean, you're an extreme.
Yes.
You're a big extreme.
Sure, yeah.
But
exactly.
Like my agent has lived basically like you
mm-hmm.
by choice. And I mean, it's going to be very difficult for her to, I mean, like I went to Florida, you know, and she's like, what, like asking like all these questions about the plane and the airport and like all this stuff. And I talked to a lot of people that are like that. And I completely get it. It's hard. It's hard to live in isolation and be afraid to go outside for a year and be told, you know, don't go outside. And then all of a sudden when they go, well, now go outside, it's going to be tough. And I know that. And believe me, I had my freak out. I just had it early. So I'm over that hump. I mean, I went away for 3 weeks to deal with it. Essentially, and that was as much as I went away for as anything else. to be completely honest with everyone. It was mentally needed as much as chemically needed. And so I'm not saying I'm better than anyone, but I dealt with it months ago. And, you know, it's going to be difficult for people. And I get it.
Well, personally, I think, you know, once I'm vaccinated, I would probably have not much of a problem going to a Red Sox game. I mean, the outdoor stuff, all that.
What I'm saying is that I think there's going to be
more people who are comfortable doing things outdoors, and it's going to take a while for people to feel comfortable, the majority, to going to indoor events. I think that's just kind of where the public consciousness is right now.
I don't even think it's outdoor or indoor. I think it's just being in a crowd, regardless of what the circumstances are. John and I have talked about this,
and John is kind of halfway. John, if I can speak for you, it's going to take a while for John, because John has, you know, has been afraid of this thing for a year and is, you know, it's going to take
a while for a lot of people. Yeah, but you would feel
more
confident.
That's my point.
Yeah, outdoors, though, yeah. John, than indoors.
Even outdoors, Rich, I swear to God, I was walking my dog and a woman had another dog next to me on my right and just walked behind me. Just walked behind me to chase the dog across the street, and I was like, "Whoa, you know, you were within 2 feet of me. That's, you know, that's not cool."
So,
and you're talking about dropping me into a crowd.
So that's not going to go away for people.
And that's going to take some time for me to kind of assimilate myself back in, outdoors or indoors.
PTSD, and people are going to have it, and it's completely mentally okay, and it's completely understandable, but it's got to happen. And it's going to suck for the majority of people. It's going to suck getting back out there. And
you just got to give those people grace. And you can't, like, you know what I mean? It's like
you give them grace, but you also have to say to the public at large, like, okay, we have to get going now. Now, you are under no obligation to go to a game or any obligation to put yourself in a crowd.
But I want to. That's the thing.
But there's certain work situations and things where, like, you kind of, let's go, okay. You know, it's tough, and I get it, but we got to get going here. And if you can't do it right now, then you got to start working with someone to get you to the place where you can.
I also think, John, that you're going to feel different once you're fully vaccinated. I think that is going to, that's something that mentally is going to be great for your mindset.
Rich, you're dealing with it in terms of a literal, logical way, and that's not the way these mental issues work.
It's true.
It's not logical. It's going to be tough for a lot of people.
Look, it may take, you know, whatever, an hour. It may take an evening, whatever the case may be. But there'll be an assimilation period. I'm just speaking for myself.
And you're not, from what I've talked to, near the top of where this is.
Right.
I mean,
I've talked to a lot of people.
Listen,
that are worse
man,
off than me. With
if
this,
if so. You're listening to me right now and you haven't freaked out or you're not freaking out, someone very close to you is, and not one of your like friends, like someone in your family or someone in your home is going to freak out, and that's just the way it is. I mean, the vast majority of people are going through a lot of stuff, and if you haven't had your freak out and dealt with it yet, you're going to have to, and it's not pleasant, but it can be done. Jesus, I got through it. So, I mean, if I can get through it, I'm a basket case. All right, Bert Breer is going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.